Welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, the podcast featuring creative entrepreneurs in the Basel area over the best cups of coffee in the best cafes. Hi Ramona and Julia, welcome to today's Illy's Coffee Talks. We're here at Zumkus in Basel, close to the train station. Thank you for joining today. You guys have a company called Solopreneurin. Yeah, am I saying it right? Would you like to share about what it is?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm Julia, hello. And yes, I can share what it is. Actually, Ramona and I came to establish Solopreneurin when we were finishing our studies, because we met when finishing the master's degree. And then, you know, when you finish studies, you start looking for what actually you want to do after studies. And you think, all right, I will have to, or I will want to apply somewhere. But we checked those application forms where you can applicate for something. And we were like, all right, this is something we could do, but we don't really want to do it. So all those things, it was always missing something. Yeah. And then we started to look around, and with our scientific background, we thought, oh, we could find something that maybe makes it whole. And then we, one day we read about Ikigai, which is a Japanese concept, and which is where it all started in a way. And yes, we found out that with this thing, which in a way makes the intellectual world where we come from, the scientific world, whole in a way that it gets you back to intuition. We started with that, and we found that we could do that with coaching, with people one-to-one, face-to-face. And then we, right now we are more into workshops, and we see that we can do this and also other things besides Ikigai with many people, so that we can spread the word in a way.
Yeah. What's your background?
We both studied psychology in the master's, and specifically talking, I, for example, did also economics and psychology in my bachelor. But we met during our master's, and we were always into work and organizational psychology. How can we keep people healthy when they're working, even if they don't like what they actually do? So this is kind of also a main topic, or a huge topic, I don't know, in our generation, in our life, in our world. I really don't know, but I think it's kind of huge. And then Ikigai came in, and we fell in love. We just fell over it. It happened.
How did it happen?
As very often when we do things together, it just happened in a way, because we read about it, and we found it that it gives something to us. And then we thought, oh, maybe this is something other people might need too. And we read about it, we connected us with studies, scientific studies, and we found that it's even, you can prove it as far as you can prove science. And so that's how it developed, and it got bigger. And right now we also are into maybe writing articles about that, so that people can read about it, besides coming to coachings or listening to workshops and doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you want to give the definition of Ikigai?
So Ikigai is Japanese, actually, because it's a Japanese concept. And when you translate it, you can translate it in making sense of life, or sense or personal sense of living. Mm-hmm. And when we do coachings, for example, because it's when you're finding your Ikigai, when we do it with other people, we ask them four questions. And those questions actually are, what are you great at? What do you love to do? Mm-hmm. What needs the world according to you, and what can you get paid for?
Yes.
And for example, one of our first clients, always when we asked her those questions, she said something concerning the sun. So it was always, she loves sunlight, for example. She said she likes to go out and things like this. So in a way, part of her Ikigai could be being in the sun. You know, it's you get those things, and then you can connect them with all the different areas of life.
Mm-hmm. And did she find this client what she was good at, and what she liked, and what she could be paid for? And what's the fourth one? No.
What needs the world?
Yeah.
What she loved.
Yeah.
And she found her ikigai.
Yeah.
And you know, because like the sunlight, it was just so, it was just like coming from deep down. Like
yeah.
she was talking about sunlight and all of a sudden like her eyes were just bright. They were like these little stars and you felt, you know, sun does something to her. And then we were talking with her and asking her, hey, how can you include this sunlight into your daily life? And it just can be a walk for during your lunch break and whatever. You know, the thing we love about Ikigai, it's you don't need to always have like this huge or massive change in your life. You don't like, you know, you don't have to just quit your job and doing these irrational things. No, because one question is also, how do you get money? How do you pay your bills? How, you know, like all of a sudden it becomes very, very rational. And Ikigai is for us a tool. It's a tool, and behind this tool is a philosophy.
Yeah.
And the philosophy behind this is that we believe, or strongly believe, that we should create a balance between like our gut feeling and our brain, like intuition and intellect. And I think with four simple questions for everybody gives kind of a simple guideline how to find this pure self, or also this pure sense of life. And it's so individual. We never had like two same ikigais when we did the ikigai thing with our clients.
So those questions help you tap into your intuition.
Both.
Yeah.
And the intellect. That's
exactly.
And to find the balance of the two. So, and also maybe it's very difficult to translate it, because when you translate it you say, okay, it's about finding your sense of life. But then this finding thing may suggest that you look for it, you answer those questions, and then you have found it, and then it will stay forever. And something that we find important is that those questions or the answers to them might be, it changes through your lifetime what's more important to you. And so also the ikigai, I think the balance, that your personal balance, in a way it stays, but it's also, it can change too. Because it's not something you find and then you got your sense of life and then this is it. It's more about the journey, if you say so.
So you would advise people to ask themselves those questions over and over again? How many times? How often? Per year, per month, per week?
Whenever you feel to, you know?
Yeah,
really. This would be the answer. No, but just to give you an example, we did a lot of coaching with students. There, for example, that how can I get money is kind of the most important question, because they don't have money. They really, right now, they want to be independent. They want to have like this, I don't know, a nice cappuccino, because this is something you don't give yourself often when you're in your university, when you just have like this little side job. And then we also did it with people around their 50s or 60s. So money isn't their theme. It's all about happiness or love or whatever. So when you really ask when to do it is when you feel uncomfortable in your current situation. Yeah. Because ikigai could lead you in kind of a new direction. And yes, you can ask yourself this question. We also did that, Yula and I, when we first just read about this article. And we assumed that it's much more valuable when we talk about this and that, because sometimes you need to have a sparing partner. He challenges you, he sometimes holds you the mirror, or what we often have is, where are you great at? We also find that lots of people have lots of beliefs.
Like limiting belief, you mean?
Limiting beliefs, absolutely. They come from family, school, also work. It can be anything. And then it's very important to have a partner with whom you can discuss these topics and also to find solutions.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, like this is not directly ikigai, but this is more about your personal self, your coaching. How do you want to live your life, and how you want to be with yourself? It's also a lot about self-loving, I would say.
So do you help your clients with limiting beliefs?
Of course. Of course.
That's where you start.
No, we let them start.
Yeah.
And normally it leads you very, very quickly into this sweet little hurting spots. It's very fascinating. Also for us, like we have this, normally we have 150 minutes, I guess, just to be very rational.
Yeah.
And I think within the first 15 minutes, we have like big themes: family, love, satisfaction, self-love. I mean, all the big life topics come up. Only with 4 questions. For me, every time is so fantastic to see.
And that's also something. I think this is about the beauty of Ikigai, is that you think it's so simple, you only ask 4 questions, mm-hmm. but then when people are open to that, or if they are open to that, it opens up. And this is something that it's really fascinating, because with like rationally asking questions and thinking about that, but then people go down deeper in their body and then things come up. So this
and
is
how long
beautiful.
Does that take?
Quickly,
yeah,
it happens really quickly.
Yeah, they're not resistant to go getting into the work.
I at the beginning, most of the time, they are not. But then, when you talk about it, of course, because you touch spots mm-hmm. that maybe those people don't even know about they got, and they might not have realized before that their beliefs that. Those beliefs exist, and maybe not that these are limiting beliefs, or that could limiting beliefs could be limiting beliefs. But then it's also something, because this is very important to us. All those beliefs, they have reason, and maybe I mean they limiting beliefs don't always limit. People got them for reasons, and it's not something that we are not. It's not the message of Ikigai or the message of what we're doing, that you have to change those beliefs, or that you have to overcome all your limits. And this, it's just that you're aware of it, and that you can feel and think both of that, if it's what you really need or what you really want. Mm-hmm. And we also always say it's not about the questions we ask, but it's not about the answers we get, but about the questions we ask and about the questions the people ask themselves after that. Mm-hmm. So this is it's more about questions than about answers.
Yeah. And you know what we really don't want to do, and this is also a thing we say within our meetings with our clients, we always say, you know what, we don't touch things you don't want to touch. Mm-hmm. Like when there's a belief and it comes from a family, it can be anything, you know. And we also get the gut feeling that I think this is a very hard topic. We try not to really talk, just we observe it, and okay, I think it's a very tough topic to talk about. Do you want to go deeper into it, or just shall we keep it aside? And then the client should have the feeling if he's ready for it, because we're not here to judge.
And you're not there as a therapist, you're there as a coach.
Yes, and can this is a big difference.
Can you tell about the difference?
In therapy, it's all about that you need to suffer from something. And in therapy, and this is probably also part why I decided not to go into therapy, it's always you have an illness and you try to become normal or healthy or whatever it is, you know. Even this this vocabulary, it's like, it's freaking me out. You know, should it be normal? I hope we have so many abnormal personality in our life, because this makes it excited. Yeah. Even when it's close, or even if it's just a little bit of illness, you know?
Yeah.
And the cool thing about the coaching is more, it's more focused on the person, on the individual. Mm-hmm. It's more like, okay, you have like this stable baseline, you're healthy, you're kind of a neutral, and now let's see how we can transform it so that you can even reach more than you actually believed that you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, it's more that it's the spirit is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also I think it's not, because I mean, of course, it's for some cases it's very important that therapy exists, and it's something different. But to us, it's more like we don't wanna. I personally also I decided not to do clinical psychology or become a therapist, because I think it's very often about fixing. So something's wrong, something's negative, and then you got to fix that so that you function again. So it's a thing in the when you diagnose a disorder, there are those criteria, and very often the criterion is the person does not function anymore due to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I can't relate to, not at all. I mean, there are cases where that is necessary, but I think what we do is kind of a person is everybody can do so many things, and it's about that. It's about the more positive approach, mm-hmm. and not about the fixing thing.
Yeah. Prevention.
Yeah, I think it's kind of prevention. Prevention against having to have becoming disordered. But then again, you talk about disorder. I think so. Prevention from what?
For staying healthy.
Yeah,
prevention. Or something. It's not against something.
Yeah. Maybe prevention for something. So then, yeah. But to me, it's like I was just thinking about maybe mm-hmm. saying prevention, but then I thought, okay, but that means that I have to, or that a person has to be prevented, or something has to be prevented. Mm-hmm. So we don't want that something happens. But then, of course, we don't want that a person is unhappy or not living what they really are
supposed to
yeah.
be doing.
Yeah. I think it's partly as prevention, but to me it's even more.
It's more, yeah.
Yes.
So what is that?
It's support, I think. Support for doing what
the best.
Yes, what you want to do and what you got inside of you and what you want to give to the world and what you want to, or how you want to be part of the world.
Yeah,
I think that it is. Yeah.
Anything to add?
Oh, I think it's well described. Like, it's all about inclusion and not about exclusion.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
it's that.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we can be a coach, we can be a trainer, sometimes mm-hmm. we can also kick your ass when you say, okay, for the third time I tried to la la la. I just thought about it. Why don't you do it? You know, like, sometimes also this. And when you're in therapy, you can do it, but when you're a coach, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe also I think everything is about worshipping the other person and not judging the other person.
Yes.
And then, if you stay in that context, and people come to us, I mean, they come to us so that they got something, I think then you can try to, according to the person, of course, maybe to hit those spots in a way that might be a little bit provocative in certain cases. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be, as a coach, you don't have to be afraid in a way that this is something that will lead to something very, very bad when we talk about disorders. It's also you get a bigger...
freedom.
Yeah, yeah, in a way, yes. Yes. And yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice, thanks. May I ask if you want to share about your ikigai, your skills, your why?
Of course, as we said in advance, and I think I can only repeat it, you can ask us everything.
Yeah.
thanks. My personal ikigai, and I think it's very tough when we do the microphone thing, the Ramona Ikigai is that I love to see systems. It can be big or small. That means they can be within a person, within an organization, or sometimes even within the world. And I'm thinking, or I also feel that I'm very good in seeing all these different spots, see how they are connected, and also how to influence them if they want to be influenced. And I think this is kind of my ikigai. I love to do it. But you know, it can also be in an apartment, like putting all your tables,
chairs,
whatever it is, mm-hmm. into the perfect spot so that the atmosphere is great. So this is my ikigai.
Mm-hmm.
I would say systems.
Mm-hmm.
My current ikigai, you know, probably.
Yeah.
It can change.
For me, it's kind of related to what Ramona said, I think. But I wouldn't call it systems. But to me, it's like finding balance in things. So you get many different spots, like Ramona said, in small and in big worlds, in a way. But to me, it's like bringing them into balance. Mm-hmm. And also, if you have a client and you see that there are parts inside of the person that somehow make that person or bring that person out of their balance, I like to I don't know a better phrase than make it right, but it's not making it right. Mm-hmm. It's just making things, yeah, bringing the balance. I can't describe it differently, but it's because for me it's like, I think things, it's very often you get dualism in the world, you get good and bad, and intellect and intuition and all those things, and we tend to judge things in terms of good and bad, for example. And I want to make that, I think it's both, but it's more than both, it's together. Mm-hmm. And even more than together, and this is something I think I can see that in the world. And I know that I can't change the world, but I think I can change small worlds. Even maybe it's making a person a little bit happier, because I could touch a point that might lead to more balance. Mm-hmm. That's that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you have to say to work-life balance?
Do you believe in it?
No. Mm. I believe in life balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I don't believe in work-life balance.
I worked as an assistant at university, and the topic, the project I worked with, was called work-family interface. So that means that you got the work and the family, and there's something something that is together, but only something. And the theory was about how to connect those parts and how to live both somehow. And then there was this term of work-home segmentation preference, which means how much you like it to make home as one part of your life and work as another part of your life. And I very much like the work there, but those topics, to me it was always like, what is that actually? Why don't we just live? And everything is part of life. So no, I don't believe in the segmentation of those two things.
Ramona?
I believe in life balance, really. Yeah. Like everything, including, excluding, whatever it is for yourself or not is. It can be that now and something else in 5 years or 5 months. But I just believe, try to find your balance where you feel comfortable. It can be in work, in life, with the two of them. Like whatever is possible for yourself and suitable.
How does it look like for you? The working day,
you know, like normally we start our day in the train. I start my day in the train with Julia on the phone.
Oh yeah.
Yes. At 6:30 or 7:30,
wow.
We're having our phone call.
That's professional.
And before that, no, it's not professional.
It's totally
just
not
like
professional.
Just like a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Like we had breakfast. Like there, I'm having like my first routine kind of with my boyfriend. We wake up, like we have this candle and breakfast and everything. So I'm very into that. When I'm not on the phone with Julia, where we discuss, like it can be life, it can be something solopreneur related, customer related, it can be anything. And when I'm not doing that, I read in a train or I meditate in a train. It really, it depends on the feeling. Then I come to work, then I'm kind of absorbed for the next 9 to 10 hours, but it doesn't feel bad, you know. Like it's just, then I'm very into work. I love to do what I do. It's interesting, it's stimulating, and therefore I'm very thankful for that, because I really need that. And then in the evening at about 5-6 o'clock, it always depends, you know. I'm coming home. Sometimes we call again, because it happens so much
during this 10 hours.
And then I'm coming home, we cook together, and we're normally go for a walk in the forest, because this is the thing, it's also part of my ikigai, I would say, like, get your greens. It could be nutrition or outside, I just I just need green.
Yeah.
Yes.
So because you're at the office the whole day.
Exactly. And I miss it. I just miss it. And it keeps me grounded. Because sometimes I feel when I'm at the office, it can lead to that I feel quite in my mind and in front of my computer and like on the phone all the time, with people all the time, and then I reconnect.
Yes.
So, yes, I think it's quite balanced in my way. But it can be like anything else, or it can be judged by other people, it can be anything, and I'm aware of it, but it's good because it's good for me.
Yeah. You don't feel overwhelmed that much.
No. I'm absolutely in my flow. And you know, I have to work and then I have Soloprenurin. This is kind of a system, a world where we create what we believe in. Mm. And this is so nice to have like the realness of this working and this business and you know what, with all the meetings and all the problems we have there. And then you have like this other thing. Yes, we have also our themes, our topics, or the next workshops or whatever it is, but it's like we solve it our way. It's like no bigger picture or no manager or whatever it is, or no other team member. It's just like our game.
Yeah.
And this is so cool.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's just also because it's so rewarding. I think we meet all these wonderful, interesting people. It can be by coaching or by workshops, or we had some events with co-working spaces for women. And it was just like so wonderful meeting all these spirits, all this person talking about life, about intuition and intellect, bringing those things in balance. And I think it's also a huge topic for women, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And no, I'm happy. What about you?
I'm happy too.
So yeah. You start your day on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and to me it's kind of, I recently finished my studies, so during that time I also had to get into, somehow keep my balance, I think, because in the end it was not that stimulating anymore. I mean, I was absorbed too, but I had to absorb myself in a way, so I discovered that I like spinning in the morning, like the morning classes.
So, spin class?
Yeah, I know that you do that too. Yeah. So it's just so cool. And people are always into, oh my God, it's spinning and then it's in the morning.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Yeah.
And to me, I just love that. I mean, it's just, and it's not even for the feeling afterwards. It's just while I do that, I feel so alive. And this is something, I discovered during finishing my studies. Yeah, and then I talked to Ramona on the phone, which is just the best start into the day that you can imagine, because it's just, yeah, it's all natural. And it's and again, things just happen when we talk. And sometimes it's just, have a nice day. And that's, and then we go have a nice day. And I built myself when I still studied, I built myself that employee life, so that I said, okay, I will go to the library, I will work for 8 or 9 hours, and then, as Ramona said too, we talked on the phone again on our way back home. And for me, it's like the, if you want to call it free time, for me it's also going for walks. So I live in Fribourg, which is a very, very beautiful city in Switzerland, and it's just, it's so calm, and I just love walking the little cobblestone streets and just walk around. Her green to me is the water, so I love just going to the lake. So by Lac Léman, which I really, really love, and sometimes I so much enjoy it that I can just go on the train and then I'm by the lake.
Switzerland is amazing.
It is so amazing. Mm. And and then sometimes I need, when I studied, I mean, it was just by myself all day long, and then sometimes I needed social stimulation in a way. So I like to meet some people I like, people are important to me. Yeah, that was that. And I think I will soon I will start working, and then it will be all the same, but it will be working instead of studying, which I'm looking very much forward to, because then I think it will be the perfect balance of what Ramona just described, that you have the bigger company thing, but then also the solopreneurin thing, where we can just really, there's no must in that. There's no limits. It's just what we want to do. And we can try it. And we, to us, it's also, I mean, we said that there are no mistakes in a way. We just try. And then we see what will happen.
Mm.
And this is just, it's great. It's really great.
It's great. I have a lot of resistance towards my day job. And I find it so amazing that you don't, that you enjoy everything, all of it.
Do you say that in a provocative way?
No. I'm just like, how do you do this?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's about this thing of the balance again. It's about, it's just, it's not everything is great in that part, but you
accept it.
Yeah, you accept this, and also you see it in the bigger picture of your whole life. And then you see, then you don't only have the work part or the working part, and you say, okay, I have to do that. It's for money and all those musts and haves and tension things. But you say, all right, life is not perfect. That's life. And it just is there. I do that. But after all, if it's that bad, I can change it, first thing. And if I can't change the job, that's what we just said, it's not always about changing your job situation, but then I can ask myself, what would it make easier? Or what could I do to see the bigger picture of my life? What would balance that out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I strongly believe in change the situation or change yourself. If it's not suitable for yourself.
No.
Yes, exactly. So go into action if you're not happy.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. Work in progress right now. What is your future projects for the company or for yourself? Where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 20 years? Whatever you want to share.
So maybe company-wise, I think we made the hint at the beginning. So we're doing the coachings, so the one-to-one coaching with Ikigai, but also with other methods, yes. And now we are turning more into workshops because we find it very stimulating for people to share things, like peer group-like. So this is what we're going to do. So we will have some workshop at the University of Fribourg. Where we will talk about Ikigai will be a main concept again, but it will be for people who are looking for what job could they do after studies, or are they doing the right thing with their studies right now, something like that. We will do workshops in Zurich where we will talk about money things, because or the psychology of investing, the psychology that is connected with also with beliefs again, like money mindset, things like these.
I'll come.
And your personality.
Yeah, and your
personality. Tell me what you invest in. I'm telling you who you are. It's kind of also in your daily life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. And we're currently really trying hard on digging in all the studies and find, like, you know, like we're in intellectual world. We need that studies.
Yeah.
Gut feeling. Yes. Nobody believes in gut feelings. So we really try and dig into those studies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also writing articles currently for Love Daily Dose. This is like a huge lifestyle blog in Austria. And then we're having another event in January. I think it's very nice because, you know, things come together. We're still working like full time. And so we're very happy if it's not all of a sudden solopreneurin, because we also need to get prepared for that. So it's all step by step, and I think we believe the right things are just happening.
So you said the world is not perfect, so you have to work, but say it is your ideal. What would you be doing the whole day? Ideal day.
I think we are thinking, huh?
Yeah.
Because it's like this huge pause.
Honestly, I think it depends on the day. So I can't really say that would be the perfect day. Because sometimes I feel like the perfect day is where I'm free to decide what to do.
Exactly.
I think that's that.
Yeah.
And where I can live up to, where I can do what I feel like. And what I need to do on that day to connect with the world. And that could be just doing nothing. Sometimes I think there are times where you simply really feel that you would just like to do nothing. It doesn't mean that you don't do a thing, but it's then you work inside of yourself. And this is something when you have to do, when you have your daily business, I think maybe we don't have the courage to do that, often enough, I think. But sometimes I really feel like for like personally right now, I'm so much looking forward to starting to work in a company. So where I have all those tuck, you know, you have to do, and you learn a lot, and it's all very fast. And this is something I'm looking forward to right now, because when I started, it's all not that fast, you know.
Okay.
So I think it's always what is needed for my personal balance.
Yeah.
And but the perfect day for me involves water. It's a lake or the sea.
Yeah.
I need to see the water.
But so you could work at the lake or something, or the ocean. That's the perfect day.
Yeah, now comes the story. Yeah, I will start my job with the company, and I'm, yeah, as I said, a thousand times I'm looking forward to that. But you know, when
it's at the lake.
Now, when we did our, we're looking for our ikigai for ourselves, I found out that water is really important to me, and I like to see the water. And I had different options to choose my job for after having finished studies. And the office of the company I work with is literally by the stream in Bern, Aare. And it's just as if it flew the rivers through the office. It's like that, the feeling. And this is something, it just warms my heart. And this is part of my ikigai, because I can, I'm already looking forward to sitting in that office. And normally I'd say I don't look so much forward to sitting in an office, but this is, you know. Yeah, so yeah. And sometimes this sounds crazy when I talk to people about that, but maybe that's an example of living your ikigai.
Yes.
And to connecting things with each other.
Yes. Very nice. Havona, perfect day. Or perfect.
Wow. You know, I'm so lame. I would say there's no perfect day. No, really. But it is. Like, it just would include, I can say what it's include, would include a wonderful waking up that I already try in my daily life. It would include lovely people, lovely discussions within a bigger picture, can be organization, world, or whatever. It can include green. I play golf, so I probably bet I would hit a tour and some balls. And I think that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. And a wonderful sleep, probably yoga, and then I'm
yeah.
absolutely happy. And nice food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
nice
a foodie.
Food. And coffee.
Yes.
No.
That's it.
Yeah.
So simple.
Mm-hmm. For me, for
you.
Example, it would be working not more than 4 hours, and ideally 10 till 2, the pitta time in Ayurveda.
Yes.
And before that, doing a spin class or yoga class or some movement in the morning, then working, and then meeting friends or having meetings or something like that, and spending time with my boyfriend, and
sounds perfect,
and good food
yeah.
for sure. But you know, that's
yes.
what I mean by perfect day. You, I have a really an idea of it.
Mm. Mm. And in fact, I think what we were just saying, all of us, it's really this, as you said, it's the simple things in the end.
Yeah. Did you think about what you would do with more money?
Yes. You know, easy answer.
Yeah.
I love green. I would always buy more place in green places. It
yeah.
can be a house with like a huge garden.
Yeah.
So I would also, yeah, I would also or always pick that. I think that's very easy. Or it depends on the sum, you know. But what I also love to do is to study and to learn new things.
Mm.
So it could also be a model of mine to study 60% and work for another 60% and just let the things go. So I would always pay my fees with the money I got.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or I love just wonderful buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, a nice house would also be lovely with a huge garden.
Yeah. Thank you, Julia.
In fact, it's the same two things, except for that I, as I said, need the lake. So I very much I'm into that. I think I would like to have a house. It doesn't have to be a very big house, but it just has to be close to a lake. And I've always wanted to do a systemic education thing, like systemic coaching. And I think I would maybe reduce work in a way, but not
because I want to reduce work, but just so that I can go to the place I would do these classes and take these classes, and so that I could pay for those classes, because I'd very much like to do that, because I think it's something. We had the topic of systems just a couple of minutes ago, and I think it's I'd like to get into that in a deeper way, maybe. And even though I didn't know it, if it would give me something new, I'd really like to try it. And those two things might be something I would do with more money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I already know the answer, but I will still ask the question. What would you do with more time?
You know, I asked us this question in advance.
You have time.
I really have time. Mm-hmm. I don't. I sleep my 8 hours. Mm. I'm very happy with my time. I don't need more. It's just the exact amount I need.
Same. Yes. Concerning the time I got, it's the same. When I thought about that question, there was something else that came to my mind. It's just sometimes I'd like to make the world stop turning, you know? I do need more time in a way of more hours per day, but sometimes I'd like to just make the world stop, and then I could do something that I think I can only do when the world is not turning, you know? Because I think everything got its time, and sometimes it might be reading a certain book or something.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, all right, I got enough hours per day, but the world makes me not be able to do that. Because somehow it's just too much other vibes around myself, so that I just really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just like to be all alone in the world in a way, so that I can do things that I only can do when it's really quiet and really like standing still. This is something. But I don't need like a 48-hour day or something.
No?
No.
Thank you. What is your favorite... I think you also answered kind of this question already, but what is your favorite thing to do during your time off?
Nature.
Mm.
Simple as that.
You too.
What's yours?
Drinking coffee and talking to my girlfriends.
Oh!
Like now.
So your podcast is your
favorite. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is my absolute favorite thing to do.
Wow.
So,
cool.
Yes. And also nature. But me, it's the ocean. Would be surfing, dancing, yoga. Seeing friends. Yeah, that's talking and learning, you know, asking questions and learning from people, from all their craziness and all their little habits, and yeah, I love that.
I think for me it depends on my feeling, but it's also nature. It's sports in nature. Sometimes it's sports in the gym, so I have to stress, sometimes it's sports in the gym, sometimes in the nature. Also talks, deep talks.
Yeah, exactly.
And talks where you can get deeper and deeper and deeper, and that just, there's no end to it, and you don't have to feel bad that you're like, oh my god, this is getting deep now. And I think people sometimes try to get the feeling that they have to apologize for that. But
I apologize for
getting deeper, for
sharing a lot about their personal life.
Yes, and also thoughts, maybe personal thoughts about, doesn't have to be their life, but the life in general. And I like just doing that without having to apologize or with, you know? And people who just talk and who just say what they feel, or it's not even, it doesn't have to be a saying, it's just about discussing and about exploring the world together.
Yeah.
And you don't have to travel for that all the time. This is something I enjoy
a lot.
Nice. Yeah.
I noticed this weekend especially at the wedding and talking to a lot of people, and so at the wedding it's often a lot of small talk, and often it's a lot of small talk in everyday life, and I hate it. It exhausts me, and I think it would exhaust you too. Yeah.
Yes.
And I feel when I start to talk about my struggles, or I start to ask questions about really personal things, but in a not in a invading way, but people really start to share them. And it's as if they're waiting for this opportunity to go deep and share. But if you would not open the conversation, they would never go there.
Have you had that experience?
Always.
Oh. Yes.
Like, do you remember these little talks in a train? Like a seat in front of you is like free and someone else, is it free? And he says, yes, of course, with a smile. And yeah. Then they, sometimes just the smile gives them the opportunity to talk.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think it can be the small gestures or also like the big gestures in sharing something very personal from yourself that makes that people open up. And actually I have suddenly met a person who doesn't like to talk about him or herself in a deeper way. So I think this is something that connects us as human beings. And even if we don't talk about it, I think we normally get a feeling of where this person stands right now.
If you're a little bit intuitive, but if... Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think everybody can do that?
Yes. I think when you feel yourself, then you're kind of magically have the ability to feel others better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I think it's not about work or working hard on that. It's just like it comes so naturally with it.
Yeah,
I think it's when you talk to someone in that way and you share something of yourself, you somehow make other people feel that right now it's okay to reshare and it's okay to talk about things like this. And then, because I think in our world very often it's like we don't do that because of rules or because of standards. And once one person in a conversation breaks that rule, the rule kind of is broken. And then it flows easily because I think, as Ramona said, everybody, all of us, we got that inside of ourselves. I think it's just we unlearn it in a way. Or we just get educated and then it's we forget that we can do that.
Yeah. And especially in the working context.
Yes.
Because over there, like when you're bursting out of tears every time or like having this anger attack, it's probably difficult also for the group. So you try to keep yourself calm, but at least I think everybody can find ways to express themselves in a suiting way in a given circumstances.
So how do you... For people who don't know, for people who are starting to tap into their intuition and starting to discover this world, because for me, I really had to relearn it, you know? It was there, obviously, but I really started tapping into it quite recently, actually, and reading people and all these things, it's new, so... How do you advise people to not behave, but make the difference between intuition and intellect?
I think I have no advice. I just can tell you how I solved it.
Yeah.
I sometimes, as I said, I often got the feeling that I'm very, very much in my mind.
Yes.
So what I tried... When I had situations, it could be in work or within my private life, I just try to feel what I feel in my body. That means how does my, I don't know, my body feel, how were my feet standing, how are my shoulders, what's in my heart, do I feel open or closed, like also with my back. I think normally we really get that feeling. And then from there, could be 5 seconds, just like very unconsciously, but then you start, when you want to be aware of it, you start to think about those things or to react on the things, to be aware of those things. And then I started to ask myself, okay, and what do I think right now? And then I try to connect those dots together, and normally I connected it when I talked to myself. I needed to learn that, because I think there's this inner voice, I call it like my star,
So when I talk to my star, in my star, I always know what's right and what's wrong, what I need and what I don't need. It's like just the source of myself. And then I ask my star what I need in my body, what I need in my mind, and how to balance those two. And the star is kind of my balance, so it answers.
Yes, it does. Julia, I'm sure you want to add something. I was just thinking while Ramona talked, and we always say like her star is my kernel. I say I got an inner kernel, and I always ask myself, what is the truth? Like, what is the real truth? And be honest with yourself. So I'm radically honest with myself, and this is something that always brings me back to my inner kernel, and it brings me out of my mind, because I think the most of the time the real truth is not in my mind, or it's not something that I can think about or that I can analyze.
Yeah.
And then most of the time I think I see the truth. It's my subjective truth, but still it's there. And then as Ramona described too, I get back to my mind, to my brain, and I think about that, and I see how much it connects with each other. But if there are contradictions, it's always my kernel, my intuition, my truth that in the end decides. Yeah.
So how do you know the difference? Okay, the mind, what's what your thoughts are, and then your body.
You know that situation when you're in a situation and you have the feeling that you're kind of out of yourself, or that you're very aware of how you sit, how you speak, what language you use, then you know that it's not intuitive. Because like it's so programmed, and it's like a robot doing one thing after the other and controlling yourself kind of. And in such situations, I really give the best. It's not always easy, but I really try to ask myself, what is it that I react like that? And find the trigger. And then when I'm out of the situation, I try to see the trigger. What's going on? Where does it come from? Why do I feel how I feel? And in the next situation, I go in. I know, okay, it's a situation like that. Probably I don't like it. It could occur that I feel like split it apart, like my intuition and intellect, they just like ripped away and they don't communicate with each other. So I try to be very much by myself and within my star, and I keep my focus on myself and just for myself and not for the others. And when this step is succeeded, I would say the next step would be I try to be myself but open up again.
How do you do that first step? Breathing or?
Breathing.
Body scan?
No, I don't do body scan. I just go in. I just do it.
You girls, you're so intuitive.
I don't know if, you know, like when you're talking about auras, I don't know if you believe in that or think about that, but for me it was always a part of my life. So when I go in situations like that, I just say that I have a golden aura, and so it stays with me, and only the good stays with me. Just a belief. Be a belief.
An image or something.
Exactly. Yeah, no image. It's just the feeling. I know how it feels when I'm in my golden aura, so I go in with that, and it's turning out wonderfully. It could be a self-fulfilling proficiency, you know, but this is the the scientific term for such thinking. But there's always
what
two
was it
sides.
Called?
Self-fulfilling proficiency.
Self-fulfilling proficiency.
Because you think that you're with something that you're having in, or that you kind of you have a vision of something, and because you have that vision, the vision starts to become your reality. Yeah. So therefore, also your external groups or whatever it is reacts on you the way you think your vision is, you know, and then becomes like self-fulfilling proficiency.
Is it like visualization?
Kind of. But more, you're more in power of that, I would say.
I would say so too.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I think what Ramona said about her golden aura, to me it's like, I always tell myself, even though there will be a situation that most likely won't be my favorite situation, I think, all right, I'm gonna have a good time.
And I think this is something, it's also what you said, it's what Ramona said, it's for herself and not for the others. For me, it's, I think, all right, I am in a situation, maybe I can't avoid that situation, but I will do, I would not even say I will give my best. I will just give my best to have a good time. And having a good time could also mean not having a good time. You know, it's just that it's a good time because it's right in that situation. Because if I can't avoid that, I will just, I can make an experience out of that. And then it,
you can learn, yeah.
Yeah, and also you, you somehow, there won't be any fear. For me, that is kind of a fear killer. Mm-hmm. Because I know I will have a good time here. Mm-hmm. And I decide to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And then I will have a good time. And then bad things might happen. But I am having a good time. And it's nothing about lying to myself. Mm-hmm. It's just about making the decision. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot about decisions in life. Very often you can decide that... you can decide to say, oh, I don't want to do that, and oh, it's so hard and everything. But then you could also just say, maybe it's connected to acceptance. You could just say, no, I don't want to be moaning around all the time. I just want to live my life. Mm-hmm. And then there will always be situations that I have to face. But then it's in my power to judge what the situation is like. And this thing, I will have a good time, naturally leads back to intuition. Because if you're in that situation, and it might be a very very stressful situation, but you're having a good time, so you intuitively do what you need to have a good time.
We relate to that, yes. Because these are also our train talks. Mm-hmm. Like when we're having such situations in a day, or, you know, I don't know, master thesis, I don't know what, can be meeting in front of shalala, then we discuss such things. And, you know, this is kind of so rewarding and so nice, and also to share the feeling you have with all the fears, with all the honesty, with all the vulnerability you're having. And this is kind of having the best time. Like generally speaking, I would say.
And I think then we get back to the topic of having someone to share those things with, because you can tell yourself a lot of things, but I guess it makes it easier to have someone that understands that way. That maybe, if you, I think we sometimes are in danger of losing that. So for me personally, I have to remind myself of that. Not often anymore, but sometimes, of course. And then it's good to have someone who tells you, ah, you could see it that way. And then you can say, yes, right, I see it that way. It's like to have someone who reminds yourself of that.
Or also not that way.
Or not that way, yeah, of course.
And then you call the coming
course.
Closer to yourself, because it's one way not to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you practice radical honesty towards one another?
I think we don't practice it consciously, we just
you do it.
Yes, I think we do it.
Yeah.
But honestly, this is an interesting question because I've never really thought about that. So did I. No.
I mean, you're not going to tell the other one, oh, poor you.
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I see Julia or I see myself and I just need to hear that word. I'm the poorest, loneliest girl in the world with like this huge problem in this situation. I just need it.
Yeah. But you know it's not true.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do even say, you know, I know it's not a problem, but I just need you to think it's like the biggest problem. Can we just discuss this problem? Because I don't want to solve it right now.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's great. It's
yeah,
like
it's cool.
With your partner.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's also with my partner. Mm. It's accepting.
Thank you. I could talk about this kind of stuff forever, but I'll wrap up. Or let's see where it goes. Talking about business a bit more now. What tips do you have to give to people who want to start their own business, whatever it is?
Just do it.
Yeah.
Really, just go for it.
Yeah. Me too. And what would you tell your younger self in only two words or three?
Have fun.
Chill out.
Yes. Great. What is the definition of work for you?
It's a part of life. Mm-hmm. You know, I just hear this song from Irena, but if this is a definition, could it be a definition?
What is it? Work.
Yeah. Work. So I just started laughing and giggling. Sure.
She always hears songs. You know? She always says, I hear the song. Oh, I don't know what.
Perfect.
Work, this is my answer. It's like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, what did you learn on your journey to entrepreneurship so far?
Client-wise speaking, everybody has a wonderful mindset. And the people who come to us are exactly the people who meant to meet us, and we also have meant to meet them, so it's kind of a gift for both sides. And when we talk about solopreneur or entrepreneurs, then it's like we're having this great conversation with young professionals, with older professionals, like being lawyers or psychologists or doing something in media, or the wonderful girl who does something in finance. And it's like always so inspiring, and just to share our thoughts, and sometimes we just create kind of a new world of all the knowledge we have together. And this is for me like the greatest thing that could possibly
Yeah, I think it's like the law of attraction has something in it. It's true in a way, because it's you go out and just tell what you want to tell, and other people listen to it, and then they tell what they want to tell, and then as long as you're open and we are open to it, and those people we meet are open too, things connect and they grow. And yeah, and you got those things that we were just talking about, the deep talks, you can have them, and it just, yeah, good things attract good things, or passion attracts passion. This is something I think is beautiful, we enjoy it.
And I also observe that, especially in the world where a lot of people start to think, hey, do I really want to have that 9-to-5 job? And especially those people thinking about that, they start to meet each other, and in a very intuitive way, and then they start to talk about intellect with each other. And for me, it combines it, or also the world, in a great way, like giving the balance back, like from also a little bit the rationality, the masculinity we came from. I think we had like the pendulum swinging on the other direction, means too, we're all doing yoga, drinking matcha latte, you know, like the other extreme, and like doing tarot, it's a good and wonderful thing. I think we need that, or our world needs that. And I think we currently meet a lot of people who really try to balance those two things.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Do you also have the feeling?
Well, you.
No, but...
No, but yeah, slowly more and more.
Yes.
And I think it's a beautiful thing to combine both worlds.
Yeah, and not always in those extremes.
Yes. Yeah.
One world or the other. No, it should be both.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it's because people, in fact, are naturally got the tendency to connect things and not to be white or black, and yes or no, but to be whole in a way. And I think this happens because people start feeling that. Yeah, it's a great work, but in the end, it's like that, I think. And it's nothing that happens quickly, or nothing that just, I think it's happening by doing it. But then happening just leads to doing it. So it's kind of a circle. That's what I think.
I love it. I want to finish on that because it's so beautiful. And just where can we find you online?
www.solopreneurin.ch.
And the beautiful Instagram?
www.instagram.com/solopreneurin.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
a lot.
Then thank you for listening.